Okay, so you really want to know, huh? Fine. I'm gonna start by telling you this. And this is important, so listen up. Your entire life, this one and many others, you've been a god who uses its absolute power to make yourself powerless. Entire cultures, especially this one, have all been afraid of their weaknesses, supposedly, when in reality, they've all been afraid of their power. This goes beyond the matrix of reality. This is something much deeper than that. This is eternal. This is fully realizing your consciousness. This is infinite. This is evolution. This is our divine right.
All right. Welcome everybody to the podcast, the Bootsy Greencast. I have an amazing guest today. I'm super duper excited. Before we get going, I just want to plug my good friends at Content Safe. They're awesome. They hook it up. They put this information all over the internet, and I trust them wholeheartedly. They are working with a bunch of amazing folks, as you can see from these pictures that I scroll through really fast. And I really appreciate all their due diligence, making sure that content is safe out there on the internet. I am super duper excited about today's guest. This is really fascinating, and I'm still learning. I'm a basic person when it comes to astrology, but I've been really enjoying this gentleman's channel. He does sidereal astrology, which we will get into what that is, and really just excited to talk about this because it's something that I know very little about, but it seems to have a huge effect. It's really an important and exciting topic. So we have Athan Chiminti on the show today from Mastering the Zodiac. Athan, thank you very much.
Thanks, Owen. It's great to be on.
Yeah. Thank you also before the show, you made me try to pronounce your name and I got it right. I'm really excited about that. So.
Yep. And a lot of people mess it up, but you got it. Yep.
Oh man. It's crazy how that is. People usually get my name right, but I've had a lot of people call me Owens, like I'm plural, you know, but there's only one as far as I know. It's a fun game to play. I'm glad you put me on the spot. I do appreciate that. It was a great way to break the ice. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into astrology. Let's just start there.
Yeah. So I would have never imagined it like when I was younger, very analytical person, basically very like objective in the sense that everything would have to be verified for me, like with the five senses kind of thing. But I was always interested in philosophy, wanted to be a philosopher when I was a kid, but I was like, that could never happen. Like, how would I ever do that? You know, I mean, I could, I guess, the university, but kind of wrote it off. I just did the status quo thing, was in the military, joined the Navy, did business for a little bit, and just always was into personal growth. And that's essentially what led me to astrology. So the personal growth led me to meditation. Eckhart Tolle, for those of you who know who he is, excellent meditation teacher, read The Power of Now and started meditating on a regular basis. And for about a year of that, one day I just, you know, I kept kind of get building like that presence, you know, and that kind of peacefulness. And it kind of culminated into this one day around the winter solstice, where I just kind of had this, I don't know what you want to call it, spiritual awakening, super Zen moment, kind of felt, saw how everything is connected. And then from there, you know, something unlocked and then my mind just kept expanding. I became interested in a lot of esoteric things, anything from the tarot, then of course, astrology and stuff. But astrology really stuck out to me because it was still very mathematical. So it appealed to that part of my personality. And, but yet it was still describing, you know, so much more, what you could call like the essences of life, and kind of putting it into language. Like I like to view astrology as a sort of language of life. So anyways, I did that for myself for a while. And then, started a YouTube channel. Eventually just made some like intro, learning videos on there, started doing horoscopes and readings came in, and then one thing led to another and grew my business from there. Business is mastering the Zodiac. It did start as a mainstream, and we'll get into the difference here, but the mainstream form of astrology is where I started. But then one day I realized that the mainstream is not using the actual size of the constellations as you would see them in the sky. So then I switched over to what I call true sidereal, or what's also called astronomical astrology, which does reference the actual constellation. So once that happened, then it was just, you know, pretty much full steam ahead from there in terms of interest and growing that sort of niche in the astrology community.
And that's really cool. Can you talk a little bit about like discovering that sort of element that really sets you apart, this sidereal idea, and coming from, I guess, you know, basic Western astrology to transitioning into that?
Yeah. So, I mean, the best way of describing it was like, I always knew sidereal was there because I was familiar with Vedic. And for those that know, Vedic does use a form of sidereal. But it never really clicked until technology, actually. And so one day, you know, the mainstream was saying it was like a full moon in Gemini or something like this. And so I held up my phone to see it with one of those apps, you know, where you can see the actual stars and everything. And it was in Taurus, right? So it just really clicked on that moment. Like I always knew, but I was like, why am I using the, different system that's not reflecting the visible sky? And from there, it just, you know, went deeper into true sidereal and used it. But for me, it was just that the fact of actually experiencing it and actually seeing the moon in that constellation, it just really clicked at that moment.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. So is it kind of like a resolve between Vedic and Eastern or Western? And is that kind of how does the whole like astronomical or the sidereal sort of style of astrology kind of come about? What's the nature of it, origin?
Yeah, it's a great question. And so I think the best way of describing that is the origin. So I believe that we've always referenced the sky. We'd go up and we just look at the sky at the campfire, you know, and tell stories based on where everything is or was. And, but what happened was, is about 4,000, 5,000 years ago, we started making calendars. So this is where writing really took off and like the calendrical systems of like making these calendars. And at that point, that's when I believe they simplified the astrology to fit more in terms of a calendar to be where everything's an even 30 degrees, right? It makes it very mathematically easy, right? Like imagine a clock that had like different times of hours, you know what I mean?
Right.
So where like 1 o'clock was longer than 2 o'clock or something like this. So they simplified the signs for, because they're using the Zodiac, of course, for these, you know, calendars. And so they simplified the sizes so that everything was an even 30 degrees. But in actuality, you know, these constellations, some are much larger, some are much smaller. So they basically simplified all that. So at that point, the Vedic were, of course, doing their system and the West was doing its system. And the Vedic stayed true to the sidereal, but they did keep the even 30 degrees. So if you look at Vedic now, it is referencing the sky, but they are expanding some of those constellations and shrinking other ones to make it again an even 30 degrees. So it doesn't reflect the visible sky with the actual chart itself. They do have other systems to give credit to them. They do have this divisions of the signs that describe them in more detail. And those divisions do describe more of what that area of the sky is about. So these are called nakshatras and padas for those that are interested in that. But they stayed true to that, whereas the West, around 2,000 years ago, so the turn of the millennia, like 0 AD, or probably about 200 or 300 years after that, a guy named Ptolemy came out, and he proposed the idea of simplifying everything even more so that everything is just referencing the seasons. Because at the time, when it was the spring equinox, the beginning of spring, it coincided with the beginning of Aries. So the sun was in Aries at the beginning of spring. So Ptolemy said, let's just simplify everything, make it even easier. Let's just, instead of doing all these accounts for the changing of the sky, because the sky is changing, let's just fix everything to the seasons. So at the time, that made a lot of sense because it was fixed. Like, it was still spring and the sun was in Aries, so it made sense. But because of this ever slow changing of the sky, the constellations, so wherever the sun is on the spring equinox, the sun doesn't originate to the exact position every year. It's a very slight change. So it's 1 degree every 72 years. So every 72 years, the sun is going to originate 1 degree away from where it was 72 years prior to that during the spring. So the West kept using this, what we call tropical system, the seasonal system. And that's the system we're using today. So it's based around the seasons, but if you can imagine it being 2000 years, now we have a huge variance between the actual visible sky and the Western tropical system. So that's why most of the time the signs will be a full sign difference. So if you're actually a Taurus, for example, or let's say you're a Taurus in the mainstream system, you might actually, you know, be an Aries, you know, for example. So the signs can change sometimes by two signs apart. So yeah, so at the time it made a lot of sense, you know, to do that. But I feel like that was something that was carried on. We can get into why, conspiracies or whatever, as to why that may have been carried on throughout the dark ages and everything.
Interesting. Yeah, that's fascinating. And it doesn't surprise me at all. You know, I do. I am a sucker for conspiracies. I mean, I can't help it.
Me too. Me too.
I love how I asked you that question. Like, what's the origin of sidereal? And you're like, well, you know, it's 4, 5, 6,000 years, you know. That's really, really interesting. So a friend of mine pointed out to me not too long ago that there are 365 days in the year, and then a circle is 360 degrees. And I thought that was fascinating. And it's interesting to think about this, you know, everything is so correspondent. It's just insane. This has got to be some sort of weird simulation because there's just too many coincidences. Yeah. But I guess over time, is that kind of what has thrown this off kilter? Is you're talking about like those 30 degree, you know, sections, like, I guess that's like per month. And then, you know, you've got, and then you've got like the whole year as well, but there's also these little tiny variations. And over time, those little things add up. It's like, if you're on a plane and, you know, it goes a degree this way, right, you wind up in San Francisco instead of Mexico or whatever. So that's kind of what you're accounting for with this method, correct?
Exactly. So we call that precession. So that's the, what they believe is that the Earth is wobbling kind of around like a top, and it's a very slow wobble. So to put it into perspective, it takes 26,000 years for it to do one full wobble. Another way of saying it is that during the spring, it'll go through the entire, you know, 360 degrees of the zodiac, you know, every tens of thousands of years. Wow. So it's a very slow change. But like you said, over time, over hundreds of years, especially thousands of years now, yeah, it makes a huge difference.
Man, that is so fascinating. And so, I mean, how do you really even calculate those changes? Like, there's not like, obviously, like for general astrology, there's this very, you know, straightforward map. But as far as like it coming off the rails and changing the evolution of it, how do you keep track?
Yeah, see, that's exactly the point, right? So that's why they simplified everything. Even with the Vedics. So they did update for the precession, but again, they did simplify it. So that's why they did it. It made total sense. But the reason it's so easy now is because of technology, because of computers. And it really isn't, you know, up until the internet's revolution that this whole idea of astronomical astrology really started to grow. I mean, there was, I'm talking 0.001% of like the astrology community, even maybe astrologers themselves, were like doing this astronomical thing because they would have to account for all this by hand, you know?
Right.
Plus now with actual apps, you can verify it. So instead of just an astrologer saying, hey, you were born during the Taurus, you know, sun and Taurus, you can go take your app now on any smartphone, type in the date you were born, and you can see the sky exactly when you were born. So, you know, I'm always a big believer of like, you know, verify things, don't trust. And so that's why I always say, with even with my system, because I use the charts and I have the chart calculator anyone can use to verify it with these softwares, planetarium softwares and things, so they can see the actual sky when they're born. So it's really because of technology that it's starting to take off. And now people are starting to sort of understand it because they can, like me with the smartphone, actually visibly see it, you know, referencing the sky.
Man, that's so cool. So it's just even more accurate than ever because of technology. And that is fascinating that we're able to do that. Man, that is so cool. And the language of life, I like how you say you're a pretty objective person, pretty analytical. And then you got into Eckhart Tolle and personal growth. That book also for me was huge. Like The Power of Now, it just seems like it just speaks to a deeper part of me, right? of the self. Like it's like kind of bypassing the brain. I like stop reading and I'll be like a little bit high from it, you know. And I could I can also remember just like the first time I noticed that my mind was empty, you know, like forever and ever and ever. All I could remember, I don't even know if I ever even noticed that I was sometimes thinking thoughts or not thinking thoughts or what I was thinking about, right? Like just really carving up that difference between those two things. But can we talk a little bit about how personal development and astrology can kind of line up? What can we learn about ourselves and how can we use this information to help ourselves understand ourselves better and to grow?
Yeah, great. That's what I think astrology is best used for. Like, you know, most astrologers or even just the idea of astrology can be thought of as like to predict the future or, you know, kind of make this idea that life is predetermined and there's just things that are going to happen to us. Right. So it's almost more of like a victim kind of thing or just determinism. But I believe in free will. In part, I believe there is determinism in the sense that there are growth potentials and life is always going to set up situations for us to grow through. And those can be predetermined because they're cycles. So it's the same as the seasons, right? You can say that every winter is a growth cycle for certain things and the summer is a growth cycle for other things. So we can predict like the weather, we can predict the seasons, but what happens in the weather is, I do believe, up to us. So that's what I think astrology is showing, is what is the weather of your life? What is the weather of a day or a year? You know, whatever you want to use it for. And how can you grow, you know, use that time period to grow and actualize your true self or, you know, individuates Jungian, whatever, become your, you know, actualize your sort of cosmic blueprint, if you will, with the birth chart. So it's a potential, it's a sort of map of your potentiality. It's the map of your life path. It's the map of your growth. Choosing to work with it and choosing to work with it in certain ways, I do believe is in the domain of our free will. And sort of knowing what are the things that you're growing with, like what is the chart helping you develop, is extremely powerful, because then you can start to align to these experiences, not only to grow, but just from a completely different lens. Like, I can't tell you how valuable it is just to know that, oh, okay, the moon's in Scorpio today. So I'm expecting like this power thing going on today or this deep, intense energy or whatever. And just that kind of knowledge of where we're at in a certain cycle or even in a whole life, certain energy, it makes all the difference. Because not only do you know how to navigate it, but it's like, and you know, everyone else is going through the same thing as well. But it's just, you know, that kind of like sort of knowing that it's not really us, that there is something that's helping us, you know, along in this journey of life, I think is extremely valuable.
I love that. I love how you resolve free will and determinism. That's really, really cool. And even, you know, before we started recording, I was saying that I had someone who was Vedic and she was like, download this app, you know, about the moon cycles. And, you know, I would feel certain ways at different times. And I did start to notice a pattern. And then, you know, I would like avoid doing certain things when certain cycles. And I loved your answer for this was like, well, you know, regardless of whether it's challenging or not, like that's how you grow. You have to face those challenges. And it's okay to know that it's going to be difficult to do this during this time or difficult to do that during that time. But doesn't mean that you need to not do it. You can still just maybe understand a little bit better what the situation is going to be like from that deterministic, that pattern that is recurring that we can't do anything about, how we're going to respond. And I like, you know, I can't change that I'm in this room, but I can choose whether I jump up into the air or not. Right. Like, so.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's said perfectly, how we respond to it. Yeah. I think that's the whole key there. And in each of the energies have a sort of polarity too. So for example, Scorpio has like this extreme polarity, which maybe is that power dynamic or like the intense thing, you know, or like fear and like control. And then the other extreme, which is not enough empowerment, you know, or like willing to face fears and things. So you become aware of the extremes, the polarities of what the time period is. So of course, you know, there are those negative, I don't like to use the word negative, but like the imbalanced way of expressing that energy. And so by becoming aware of those potential imbalances or those extremes of the energy helps us find a little more centered approach, the healthier balanced approach to that constellation's energy of what it's trying to help us do. So I do believe life is helping us kind of find that balance and to resolve this kind of these extreme pulls towards imbalance or the unnatural elements of life, you know?
Yeah, that's really cool. And do you think that has to do, is it electromagnetic? Is that kind of these energies?
Yeah. So here's where like a lot of astrologers probably wouldn't agree with me on this, but I don't believe that what the astrology is doing is like Newtonian physics where it has like cause and effect. I believe that the whole universe is going through cycles and the planets are just telling us what time it is in that cycle. That's all it is. It's not that the planet has an effect on us. Now, the moon, I do believe, does because it's closer. And so there's more of a physical component to that. And even in astrology, we consider the moon very much about feelings and the physical attunement to those. But in terms of like the planets or the stars that are so far away, I don't believe it's like Newtonian physics where they have an effect on us as much as they're just telling us what time it is. We've just noticed patterns that when Jupiter is in this particular constellation that we've attributed to Cancer, let's say, certain things happen. And I think that the constellations were obviously created by man, but they are created by man to represent what that time period is about. So it's not the other way around where it's like, okay, it's Cancer. So therefore now it's going to affect us in this Cancer way. It's that I believe like human beings looked at this time period and said, okay, we're feeling this Cancer energy. So that constellation, we're going to give a crap, right? Which corresponds to that kind of energy. Because honestly, with the constellations, you can attribute them to anything. Why is Aries a goat instead of a horse or a dog or something, right? or even a human or whatever. I mean, they're just dots, right? So,
right.
So they were given those constellations for a reason, because through time, we noticed this kind of theme during these times when these planets were in these locations. And we associated them with these archetypes that represent a symbolic representation of what that energy is about, you know? So for me, it's more about timing. I think the astrology is just showing us where we're at in this cycle, this universal cycle. And in that context, how are we all growing universally at certain times, you know?
Man, that is so cool. I love that. And I have one final question that's probably kind of a stupid question. And then I want you to share with folks, you know, where they can find you. I love the readings that you do weekly. They're fantastic. And I really got a lot out of those. What is retrograde and why is Mercury always in it? That's my
right. So the retrogrades, right. And Mercury, yeah, Mercury is the most common. So the retrograde is basically, it's just that, so Mercury is a good example. So, you know, we're orbiting around the sun, if you believe in, you know, orbital. So we're orbiting around the sun like this. And so is Mercury, but Mercury is moving a lot faster than we are. So there's times, so Mercury is zipping around the sun like this, and we're moving a lot slower. And so there's times when we will start, well, Mercury, you know, will start to pass us. And so from this perspective, it appears to be going backwards. It's almost like if you're sitting in the backseat of a car, you're looking at the car to your left, and you know, that car that car is passing you. It would appear in station of time that car appears to be going backwards. So it's just this, you know, this whole kind of speeding up of the, of Mercury, you know, relative to us. Now, of course, with the outer planets, it's us who's speeding up, but it, because they're on the other side of the sun from us. So it's us going faster than them appearing to go backwards. So that's all it is. It's just the optics of it, but symbolically it represents more of an internal time, a time of going inwards. And because Mercury's the fastest, he deals a lot with our day-to-day lives and routines and, you know, kind of like communications, all this kind of everyday stuff. So when he goes retrograde, that's why it's always talked about in terms of like communication getting messed up or things having to be redone and all this, because he really rules astrologically, like the everyday lives of things. So it is good during Mercury retrogrades to go back and kind of re-examine things, take a little bit of a step back, pause, do some things from the past, kind of rework, be flexible, because things do change during that time period. But at the same time, I think it does get blown a lot out of proportion in the sense that it is said to be like this very extreme time, but it happens three times a year. So okay. I don't know.
Yeah, it does. People always blame everything on it too. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, how convenient for you, you know?
Use that time period because it's very good for editing, going back, rethinking, changing, learning. It's a great time of going back and learning things. Yeah. But it's true. If you are trying to push hard forward during a Mercury retrograde with Mercury things, yeah, you can definitely reach a lot of resistance and having to redo stuff and stuff like that.
That is so interesting. I love how open-minded you are too. I mean, like you're saying, like if you believe that the world is, you know, is a certain way, I think that's super duper interesting. I was actually just talking to a good friend of mine about this last night, about like, you know, what is the harm in asking questions? Of course, you know, like that doesn't seem to be something that there's consequences for. But it's also interesting to think about how would that, and I promise this is my last question, but how would that change astrology if the world was, let's say, a rectangle?
No, not at all. And that's the beauty of the true sidereal, right? Because you're literally just going outside and you're looking and you're just seeing where everything is. So if it is, in fact, that everything's rotating around us, for example, or whatever it is, it doesn't change the fact that, you know, that body is in that particular constellation and it has that influence at certain times. So, you know, with the Mercury retrograde, that would be just describing the Mercury retrograde and like the what most believe in terms of like the universe, the solar system. But it could be, of course, these bodies are moving backwards quite literally. But in either case, it appears to move back. So it's time to go back and redo things. It doesn't change.
That is so cool. Wow, that's absolutely fascinating. Man, thank you so much. I really appreciate you clarifying that because I really felt like I was asking kind of a ridiculous question.
No.
But it's so cool. I love how much thought you put in. It's clear that you really have a lot of knowledge on this stuff. And I really appreciate all your work. I hope you'll continue on. I'm sure you will with it. And please let us know how the best way to track you down. I know you also offer readings for folks. I don't know how, how your schedule is or how busy you are, if you still have some gaps in time and to work with folks, but please let us know.
Yeah. Always open for readings. So the website's masteringthezodiac.com. So there you'll find all the resources. So there's what I would recommend starting with is just look at your sun sign. So everyone knows their mainstream sign, but on the website there, you'll be able to see what your true sun sign is, see if that resonates a little bit. And then there's also a true sidereal calculator. So if you want to see exactly where all your planets are, your true sidereal chart, that's free. It's calculator on the website. Then from there, there's resources on how to read that. And then if you want to go deeper, yeah, there's readings. There's also courses. And and if anyone has any questions, I'm always open to questions via email at athan@masteringthezodiac.com.
Man, that's fantastic. Thank you so much, Athan. I really appreciate all your
time. Thank you, Owen.
You're awesome.
Yeah, it's been great being on. Great conversations.
Man. What a pleasure, dude. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right, folks, go check it out. I'll put all those links in the show notes. Absolutely. And thank you so much for checking out the podcast. Be sure to go and calculate. You got a free calculator there, courses, all this good stuff. And maybe comment on one of Athan's videos and just let him know how much you appreciate his work. Thank you so much. And we'll see y'all next time.